Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
I'm here. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball? We have eight. We have a quorum.
Very good. Are there any changes to the agenda? Seeing no staff?
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. Can I get a thumbs up approval on the agenda? Unanimous. Thank you. We all received a copy of the December 22nd, 2022 regular meeting minutes. Are there any adjustments or changes to the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Thumbs up approval on the minutes. Unanimous. Thank you. Very good. Staff, are we ready or are we having issues?
I'm having issues, but I'm okay.
Okay. We can get you help.
Please. Okay. EAP will be good. I am ready. I don't know where I put all my agendas, but that's all right.
That's all right. The first item on today's agenda is case number 08-2023, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of Black Dog Consulting and Development LLC, seeking approval of a rezoning from R1, one-family dwelling, to R2, two-family dwelling, with the intent to develop the site with cottage-style lots. The 3.3-acre site is located on the eastern frontage of Oakland Gravel Road, approximately 500 feet north of Blue Ridge Road, and is commonly addressed 3612 Oakland Gravel Road. This request was previously tabled at the December 8th meeting. May we have a staff report?
Yes, you will. So this evening we are going to be discussing a rezoning request from R1 to R2. Public information postcards were sent on 10/24. There were 38 postcards distributed. Property owner letters then were sent on 11/18 with an ad running in the Columbia Tribune on 11/22. As indicated, this was tabled at the December 8th meeting. There were no additional notices sent out since it was tabled to date certain for this January 5th agenda. This is a 3.3-acre site of land located off of Oakland Gravel, just north of Blue Ridge and south of North Ridge Drive. This is the oblique aerial that shows a single home located on the property, accessed off of the teardrop single driveway, surrounded by residential development in all directions, with multiple zoning classifications being attached to those, which we'll go over here shortly. So this is an R1 zone property, which is our single family residential detached housing district. It is an unplatted tract, and as indicated, it's improved with that single family dwelling unit on the property. The applicant has stated through the application materials that the intent is to develop the infill site, which is what this is classified as, with single family structures on cottage style sized lots. The rezoning request at hand does not automatically grant the cottage style standard, which is a 30 foot wide minimum lot with a 3,500 square foot minimum lot area. Rather, the cottage standards are applied by our Board of Adjustment as the special zoning provisions as authorized, or what's referred to in the code as optional development standards, following the granting of the rezoning request. Cottage style housing is only allowed in our R2 zoning district within the code. That is a observed challenge that we are seeing as a staff at this point as it relates to being able to incorporate different sized lots of different densities within the community to further some of our goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan, In addition, having the BOA process associated with this without possibly having it addressed as part of the zoning action also creates a little bit of a cumbersomeness to the process as well. Those changes we will probably be bringing forward to you at a later date through another text amendment change that we will discuss during work sessions. The applicant, as a part of ramping up for this particular request, went through what we refer to as our concept review procedure to offer the idea of how this property would be developed utilizing the cottage style standards, seeking some direction and advice from us as to, well, what would be appropriate. Associated with that concept review request was a preliminary sketch plan, which was provided in the packet and we'll get to here in a moment, that identifies how this development would be being proposed to be constructed should the R2 zoning be approved, as well as the cottage style optional standards. This is the 18 lot development plan that was submitted during concept review. It shows an intent of utilizing this R2 zone property for this purpose. It is not a guarantee, of course, that this is what will end up happening, but in our conversations with the applicant and his agent are here this evening, they will be able to verify for you that this is what they want to do. They are not looking at an R2 duplex development, which would be the other option with that zoning. They are not looking for a 5,000 square foot minimum lot size single family subdivision either, which would be the other available option in the R2 zoning district. They would like to build 3,500 square foot lots, a little bit larger than that because these are 40 foot wide, and 18 of them in order to offer an option that is different from the general built environment in this particular location. Surrounding land uses have a variety of zoning, which is what the zoning map here on the left shows. The subject site is R1. The light yellow is R1. And then the darker yellow or orange color is our RMF zoning district, and the slightly darker yellow that sits in between, or the more the burnt, is basically the RMF, and then the darker yellow is the R2 zoning classifications that are within this area. The R1 properties, as one would expect, are improved with single family homes. R2 and RMF are improved with duplexes as well as some multifamily structures up here on Sears Court in the RMF zone. You'll notice this big blue spot here. This is Northridge Cottages. This was a property that was approved last year as a plan district. And a final plat has been submitted for this development. This is a unique site. It was a depressed location, last property off of Northridge left to be developed. Based on a variety of factors, the plan district was the only alternative really that existed to allow the property to be developed in the fashion that it is. And it is a very similar style to cottage development. However, given the unique nature of that being tucked into the existing neighborhood, a plan district was seen as being a little bit more appropriate. You're dealing with Oakland Gravel Road frontage with the subject site, and the R2 request, given the land use characteristics surrounding the property, was seen as a more appropriate option to take on this tract of land versus a plan district, which was what the original discussion during the concept review with the applicant was about. And we felt that this particular property did not exhibit some of the qualities or characteristics for plan zoning, as we were discussing earlier this evening in our work session, to where we had unique land use features or elevation changes or other things that really warranted the PD designation, and we weren't receiving a tremendous amount of return publicly out of that property either, which is another one of those characteristics for plan district support from a staff perspective. The future land use map identifies this property as being located in a neighborhood district. Neighborhood districts offer that wide spectrum of not only all of our residential zoning classifications, R1 through RMF, but it also incorporates some of our lower end possible commercial related uses and office uses. So the request for R2 on this property falls squarely in the middle of the residential designation that the property has by the comp plan. As I indicated, it is an infill site. It is located along a major collector street, and it is in walking distance to several critical elements that support higher densities. It has the Bear Creek Trail, two city parks, and multiple public schools within walking distance. The site has already existing sidewalk along its frontage, and there are other multiple sidewalk plan master plan projects in the area, including an active CAP project to fill in sidewalk gaps to improve pedestrian crossings to the south of this particular property, which would be heading towards Vandiver Drive. The request is also well aligned with many of our goals that we have within the comprehensive plan, Columbia Imagined. The highlights of those are, and they're covered in the staff report in greater detail, supporting diverse and inclusive housing options, obviously to bring in a product type that is on a smaller lot but still detached single family, offers a different spectrum of opportunity for purchasers, or for that matter, renters that want to have a single family detached home with their own individual lawn. It also offers an opportunity potentially for different income spectrums to be integrated into the environment. This particular application prioritizes the concept of infill and incentivizing the opportunity for that as articulated within the comp plan on pages 124 and 128 through 130. Obviously, taking a development of this nature and dropping it off in a greenfield location isn't really helping with not expanding our public infrastructure. Utilizing a site in this existing environment is infill. It reduces the impacts as it relates to expansion of our utility services, and it is directly aligned with that concept of prioritizing infill. Sometimes in order to allow for that to happen, you have to incentivize development, so one could look at the request to go to R2 as actually achieving that. Giving them slightly higher density makes this property a little bit more easy to develop, and it does offer those additional opportunities to diversify the housing that's in this particular area. And then this request also supports many of the principles of the livable and sustainable communities goals that we have within the plan, as well as our land use and growth management goals, both of which are covered on pages 120, 121, and 128 of the comprehensive plan. In conclusion, the site's well suited for a residential infill project. Given the surrounding context and the multiple zoning classifications, the R1, the R2, the RMF, and the varied development within those zones. And again, staff wants to note that the zoning of R2 does not in and of itself grant the cottage standards. The concept review plan, as we saw, gives clear intent that that is what the applicant wants to pursue with the board. And board approval of those optional cottage development standards needs to be granted by them following the potential rezoning of this property to R2. With that, we are recommending approval of the request to change this particular 3.3-acre tract to R2 zoning, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Before we direct questions to staff, have any commissioners had communication from the public or parties? And if so, would you please disclose it now so that we can all benefit from the same information? Seeing none, questions for staff. Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Zender, could you refresh me on the notification requirements for BOA action?
BOA requirements are similar to those for the Planning and Zoning Commission. All property owners within 185 feet are notified, as well as all neighborhood associations or registered homeowners associations within 1,000 feet.
To that end, is Ms. Donaldson on that list, the person who generated this?
It is my understanding that she was. I'd have to confirm that. We did post property, so with every rezoning request before this body or public hearing request before this body, we have the larger public notice sign that is placed on the property. With our Board of Adjustment, we have a much smaller sign, so we rely more heavily for the Board of Adjustment on mailed notification.
As a request, whether or not Ms. Donaldson is on the list,
I will
could you add her to the list?
We will be more than happy to do so.
And I'll save the other comment till the end. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will move on to public comment. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record. 6 minutes if you're with a group, 3 if you're an individual.
Good evening, commissioners. Tim Hello. Crockett, Crockett Engineering, office at 1000 West Nifong. With me tonight is Adam Rao, who is the applicant tonight with Black Dog Properties. And again, we're looking at 3.3 acres that's currently zoned R1. We're asking for it to be zoned to R2 for the cottage standard. Now, again, as Mr. Zinner indicated, we have to go to the Board of Adjustment to acquire those standards, to be approved for those standards. So we have to, it's kind of a chicken or egg. We got to do one thing at a time. The first thing we have to do is come to this commission and the council to get our R2 zoning. Then we need to go to the Board of Adjustment to get the cottage standard approval. And then if we obtain that, then we need to come back to this commission and ultimately council with the preliminary plat for the property. So just to make sure we understand the process, we will be back if it proceeds and we get approvals as we go, we will be back before this commission with the preliminary plat showing the layout in the street, the standard plat that you typically see. And there is some again, it's zoned, we have to go R2. That does allow for duplexes. It's not my client's intent to do duplexes. He does not want to do duplexes on this site. He wants to do the single family, single family units. If there's another way to do it, certainly that's where we would go. However, this is the route that the UDC indicates. Again, you've seen the location map, you know where we're located. Again, you've seen the concept plan. I'm not going to plagiarize. I'll just straight up say I stole this from the staff report because it's much better than the layout that I do. So you can see the multiple zoning districts that are around the subject property. And we're looking at a density on our property about 5.5 units per acre. The duplexes across the street are about 7.7. Up the street is 8.5 and 10. The duplexes further north are 4.5, and the PUD was like 6.5. So we're right in line on the lower side of the density of the other multifamily in the area. But again, we're looking for single family. So what's the purpose? Why are we doing that? Well, we want to provide affordable small lot infill cottage style development. We want to develop in conjunction with the surrounding area and use a UDC to develop the tract to the best possible use. We are located within walking distance of the Blue Ridge Elementary. Not too many times do we have new developments come forward that were within walking distance of not only the elementary school, but also the middle school, which is about 950 feet away. We're also about a third of a mile to the MU healthcare facility up on Smiley Lane. We're also about a third of a mile away from the future 30-mile loop that Parks and Recreation is planning around the city. I talked to Parks yesterday about that, and they have high hopes that that will progress in the near future. So I'm really excited about that. Trying to get that loop completed, but they do have some plans for this area, and we'll be pretty close to it. We're also just about a quarter of a mile, just right down the street from Albert Oakland Park. Actually met Parks and Rec at that site for some improvements that they want to do. So Albert Oakland Park, if you're not familiar with it, 75-acre park has a lot of amenities basically across the street. Again, here's our site right in the middle. What's yellow are the three schools, one elementary and two middle schools, Lang and Oakland, as well as Blue Ridge. We add in the healthcare, and then we add in the park facilities, the trail, and then the Albert Oakland Park in green located there. Again, I think Mr. Zinner talked about being an infill development. We don't need to talk about this too much. We're right down the street from Fire Station 4. No more police is needed. Solid waste has already served the area, so we don't have to change routes or anything along those lines. Of course, adequate utilities for the area as well. Columbia Imagined supports a plan like this for various reasons. And then so basically in conclusion, we believe it's appropriate for the area. It's infill development. It's going to meet all the city standards. It's going to be a little bit of a process. It's a little bit different than we've taken before in the past. But we come to you respectfully requesting approval. City staff has approved it. We think it's a good plan. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that this commission may have.
Any questions for the speaker? Okay, Commissioner Burns.
Thank you. So a couple of questions, Mr. Crockett. So these would all be individually owned?
Yes, that's our intent is to sell them. They have a smaller unit. Right now on the market, we have so many three-bedroom, four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. We would like to have something smaller here. I mean, we're seeing a change, if you will. People are asking for, we're doing this in some other subdivisions and larger subdivisions, looking for a two-bedroom unit. Maybe a two-bedroom, two-bath, two-bedroom, one-bath, a single-car garage. We're kind of getting away from the larger homes and into the smaller. So the intent here is absolutely, my client's intent is to sell these units for individual home ownership.
So as far as a concept, do you have a price point on these units?
I would love to tell you. Right now, price points are, you know, probably low 200s, but that fluctuates monthly, weekly, daily, based on construction material costs. Lumber's coming way down, interest rates coming up a little bit. So, you know, the idea there is to try to get in the low 200s right now.
Thank you. And then the last question is, you didn't mention communication with neighborhoods or homeowners associations. Could you share a little bit about that?
You know, my client can speak on this. He went door to door one Saturday in December, went to all the adjacent property owners. He spoke to a couple property owners, and if he didn't catch anybody there, he left him a note, left him a pre-written letter basically telling him who he is, what his plans are, what he wants to do, and then gave his cell phone number and said, please reach out to me if you have any questions, concerns. Love to talk to you about the project.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Crockett, I'd like to thank you and the individual who hired you there for doing this, because as you know, and I hope you will learn, this fits our desires, and we do hope to get those text changes so this is not such an arduous process, because this is what we want to do. Right. If this is built as advertised, or it can be built as advertised, this fits so many needs. I will bring up something, and this is a note of caution. I'm all for this. This is great.
Sure.
We had another cottage-style development come up, but I'm not going to mention any names, and we got sold a bill of goods, and it was a pig and a poke, and they hit all the right words, and they got what they wanted. That made us angry.
I understand that, and my client is here tonight to hear that, and so I think words are
because
are
this, sir, this is what we want for these lots.
Yeah, and to address the one letter that you did get, if I may, there was one letter that was submitted to Planning Department, and I believe the lady, I believe, she should be on the list. She lives right across the street, but her concern was mainly, or concerns, you can read the letter, you know what her concerns were, but she mentions apartments, and that's certainly not the case here. Obviously, we've addressed that. So, you know, if we'd like to reach out, not apartments, we're doing single family.
Yeah, a conversation with Ms. Donaldson would be beneficial.
Sure.
And I do appreciate the tack that you all followed, in the going the door-to-door and stuff like that, that minimizes concerns and perhaps forestalls snowballing poor communication.
Right, correct. And if you recall, this was tabled at the last meeting. There was a miscommunication, and the reason for that tabling was that we hadn't had that time to get that communication out. So instead of doing that communication and ignoring it, we decided to table and do that and then come before this commission.
Commissioner Stanton.
Oh, Mr. Crockett, I wanted a fight, but you didn't give me one. I like this, you asked, you did it. You said everything we wanted to hear. I hope the owner is genuine and authentic. If it is what you're selling us right now, this is the exact kind of project we want. So the only fight I have is if your owner isn't from the show me state and shows us something else. But yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I just had one question. Let's say this goes through tonight. We say yes. Great. You're at Board of Adjustment. They say no. What's your backup plan, or have you even thought that far ahead yet?
We haven't really thought that far. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have thought that far. We don't want to kind of put too much. We don't want to try to go down that rabbit hole too much because we're really hoping that we get the cottage standard. I think if we get denied, I think we have to go back and look at some kind of an R1 development of some kind. It's not our intent to do R2. We don't want to do duplexes. There's duplexes across the street. They're already filling a need. They're there. We don't want to put more duplexes in this area. We'd rather have single family. So not saying that we won't have a different type of plan, something. We don't know exactly what, but we're really hoping for the cottage standard. That's what we really want. And, you know, I'm going to be a big supporter of getting the code change. Obviously, we like the code. The UDC works well. There's a few things that need to be ironed out, and we're working through that. And that's normal for a new code, right? But the idea here is the reason why I was nervous about doing the R2 is because I come before you, I go to council, I get R2, and then we want to make sure that there's not the perception that we're doing duplexes. You know, then we turn around and say, don't go to the Board of Adjustment. Now we got R2, we can do duplexes. That's not our intent. And we don't want to do that. So I believe having a change in the code, we talked with the Planning Department about this numerous times, and they agree, is going to give a lot of relief to that, especially with the neighbors when we try to tell them, yes, I want duplex zoning, but I'm not going to do duplexes. You know, so we're going to be big supporters and work with staff to try to get that worked out.
I think you'll have a lot of people on this side of the dais as well who would like to see that worked out.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for this speaker? Thank you very much. You. Next speaker on this case. Name and address.
D. Dockin, 804 Egan Street. And I'm just joining everyone else in saying this seems like a really good idea, and I hope it goes through. We definitely need appropriate infill development and more central density in the city and more efficient use of resources. Sounds good.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak on this case? No? Okay. Oh, sorry, yes.
I was hoping that the applicants could speak. I was interested in your communications with the neighbors that you spoke with.
I tried to let you come up without getting called out.
Got forced to. Adam Rao, 1312 Willow Creek Lane. I'm the owner of the property.
Okay. Questions for this speaker? Commissioner Burns.
Could you share the communications? You had positive, negative questions. What was the response to the neighbors?
I tried to think of the best time to not be a creepy guy knocking on people's doors. Gets dark at 4:30. You know, I went on Saturday about 11 a.m., right during the World Cup final. So I did watch a little bit of that with a couple there at the end. Behind the door, or behind the property, they'd lived there 50 years. They knew the homeowner. Just had some general questions about it. You know, what if I don't want it? You know, what were his wishes? So on and so forth. I said, you know, if it's not something you're interested in, you got an opportunity to speak on it, go down there. I don't think they showed up to do that. I don't see them here tonight. So another neighbor who was directly adjacent behind it didn't want people looking in her back window. She felt that the property was elevated above hers and didn't like that idea. I shared with her, you know, it's very deep lots, so the properties will be, you know, a little further forward if we need to. We'll plant some trees in the back. But, you know, the goal is to make it an economical, appealing property, and if we're just staring in other people's back windows, they can do that anywhere else. So, you know, my goal is not to make something that's not enjoyable for either the new homeowners or the existing neighbors.
Commissioner Stanton.
I want to hear out of your mouth. What are your intentions with this property if you get R2?
Yes, my goal is cottage style single family homes. That's what we will do.
Anyone else? I did have a question. The building that is currently on the property, it looks like it might be a 1950s, 1960s.
It is available for rent if you would like to stay in there until this process is over.
But it's not a heritage home it's over 100 years old or any of those.
Craziest floor plan you've ever seen in your life. And it's a 19 something. Yeah.
Okay.
1951.
1951.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Last call. Thank you very much for
being
here
tonight.
Thank
you for the opportunity.
Thank you for coming forward. Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll move on to commissioner comments on this case. Any commissioner want to comment, or do we want to go into motions and discussion?
I'll comment.
Commissioner Burns.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised because this is so heavily surrounded by R1 that we haven't seen anyone coming to comment on this pro or con. Since there aren't people who are opposed to this, with others, am very supportive of what's attempted to be done here. I do have concerns about the heavily R1 surrounded existing R1 lot being moved to R2.
Commissioner McMahon?
Just a thing, to reiterate again, we will eventually get to a more of a by right with the cottage thing. I think that'll alleviate some of these concerns. And as far as the neighbors, is it Rao? Okay. Mr. Rao mentioned in a BOA, a replat, we have some buffering, and there will be some buffering, too, that can address them. And that will allow people to see that more clearly. I'm concerned about Ms. Donaldson's response because I don't know her. I just have what she's saying here. But this seems to fit and is a primo property. If you're going to sell that to anyone, that would be a great deal. I think we should approve this and pay very close attention to it. And I'll refer back to the other project where I think we got sold a bill of goods, and I still have a bitter taste in my mouth about that. And I do plan to support this and to follow it closely.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yeah, I have very similar feelings to what has already been stated. I think this is a great project. I do support cottage-style development, and I hope that this moves through with Board of Adjustments as well. In particular, I look forward to the opportunity to see a cottage-style development go through with straight zoning, with R2 zoning, as opposed to a PD plan. So I'm actually glad that that's a route that you're taking, because I'd like to see that part of our code work and get used. So thanks for using it, and I hope that it gets used well and that it's receives support from the community. I also appreciate the community outreach that you did, and that level of personal outreach is definitely appreciated by the community and by the commissioners here. So best of luck.
Commissioner Lowe.
The proposed project on Northridge, the PD project, there was quite a few neighborhood comments on that proposal, and it wasn't necessarily in favor of the smaller lots. But we still supported it because we saw it as an appropriate fit and an appropriate use. The fact that we're not receiving many neighborhood comments, and I appreciate Ms. Donaldson's antipathy to having construction across the street, but unfortunately that simply occurs from time to time, especially when you have an infant. But that strikes me that Oakland Gravel does have more of a mixed density along it, and that the neighborhood does see that this is a better fit along that with the duplexes across the street and the other densities up the street. So given we saw this as an appropriate density nearby, I do support this as a density at this location as well.
Any further comment?
If my fellow commissioners have no other questions or concerns, I'd like to make a motion. In the matter of case 08-20223, rezone from R1 to R2, I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Kimball? Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Thank you very much. Our next case number 54-2023, a request by the City of Columbia to revise Chapter 29 of the City Code, Sections 29-1.11a, definitions, 29-3.2, Table 29-3.1, the permitted use table, and 29-3.3QQ, use-specific standards, to incorporate new and revised definitions as well as revised use-specific standards to said sections that are reflective of changes to the regulation of marijuana as authorized by Article 14 of the State Constitution. May we please have a staff report?
We're going to talk about pot tonight.
I'd love to.
So we are proposing a text change to address the changes brought about by the adoption of, or the approval by the Missouri voters of Amendment 3 in November of this past year. Those text changes require that we amend the aforementioned sections, our definitions, our use-specific standards, and our permitted use table. The impacts will be felt, at least from a zoning perspective, in our ag district, our IG district, mixed-use business park district, MC, which is our mixed-use corridor, and then our MDT, our downtown district, as well as the use-specific standards in section 29-3.3 QQ. The focus really of the amendment is to address the additions of comprehensive medical or comprehensive marijuana facilities. This is one of these, as we discussed tonight again in work session, that there was no public information postcard sent out. This is a citywide regulatory change. It affects all residents and all properties within the city, or at least within the zoning classifications, equally. Though it does require advertising, as any text change to our Unified Development Code does. That advertising was performed on the 20th of December, as required by our notice procedures for this evening's meeting. So a little bit of background. As we've previously discussed in work session, November 8th, voters approved Amendment 3 legalizing recreational marijuana. Presently, the code adopts or has in place medical marijuana regulations. The adoption resulted in changes to Article 14 of the state constitution, which originally included the provisions for medical marijuana and then was expanded to include new provisions and sections dealing with recreational marijuana. The changes that occurred in the state constitution basically include the additional categories for comprehensive marijuana facilities and then microbusiness marijuana facilities, in addition to our medical facilities that currently are regulated by the UDC. The UDC was amended in June 2019 to address the medical marijuana facilities that we have within the corporate limits. Amendments were made at that time to our definitions, our permitted use table, and we created use-specific standards to accommodate the four different types of medical marijuana facilities that were originally approved by Article 14 of the state constitution. Based on the use type, depending on which of the four categories of medical marijuana, they were either allowed in the ag, the industrial, our business park district, our corridor commercial district, or in downtown, subject to the use-specific standards. And the use-specific standards generally were dealing with spacing requirements, maximum licensure, and a variety of other use-specific related controls to ensure that the introduction of medical facilities, regardless if they were a dispensary, an infused manufacturer, or a cultivating facility, were appropriately situated, placed, and regulated inside the city's jurisdiction. As it exists at this point, the code only permitted dispensaries, a maximum of 7 dispensaries within the city's corporate limits. That is one dispensary based on every 20,000 in population. And at the time that the ordinance was constructed, the math worked out to the 7. As many of you may be aware as well, the original Article 14 amendments to the state constitution established maximum numbers for the different facility types based upon congressional districts within the state. The maximum number of dispensaries permitted in our congressional district at the time was 24, and the decision to take only a portion of those was viewed at the time of consideration of the medical marijuana regulations as our proportional share of the 24 that were allowed within the congressional district. So that is an important fact to carry forward as we move on in this discussion. Those licensure maximums are not changing with the introduction and the changes being brought forward by this particular regulatory change. We need to amend our code in order to stay consistent with the state constitution. If we didn't have to, we wouldn't be. But we have to in order to ensure that when we go and we have licenses granted for a comprehensive facility, our code adequately defines and incorporates requirements that they have to meet. Those amendments, as we discussed in work session, will occur in two phases. The first phase relating to the comprehensive facilities, the second phase being micro-business facilities. At this point, micro-business facilities have not been made eligible for application, but as this next bullet says, the comprehensive facility licensure process began on December 8th, and the Department of Health and Senior Services has 60 days in which to make a decision on that license application. If they don't respond within that 60 days, the license is deemed to have been granted. There is a caveat with that, of course. Comprehensive licenses can only be issued to already medically licensed facilities. So what does that mean? That means that there are no freestanding comprehensive facilities that would be able to sell both medical and recreational marijuana beyond the seven that are permitted currently. So we're not expanding any additional licensures. We're just accommodating what is currently medically licensed should that operator choose to become a comprehensively licensed facility. Pursuant to the state statute as well, no permits for additional comprehensive or micro-business facilities can be issued for 18 months following the passage of the amendment, which was November 8th. And then the proposed changes for our micro-business facilities will be discussed during work session after DHSS has issued additional licensure guidance, and the licensure window for micro-businesses and potentially additional comprehensive facilities opens on June 6th. So between now and June 6th, we will likely be having additional work sessions to discuss any potential additional regulatory changes to accommodate the micro-business facilities themselves. And micro-business facilities were included into the legislation of Amendment 3 and into the state constitution in order to open up the opportunity for competition within the marijuana industry itself, allowing for a different set of licensure criteria to be developed to promote a little bit more inclusivity with minority businesses and women-owned and operated businesses as well. So what does the UDC amendment do? In summary, it's going to amend our definitions. It's going to add the uses of comprehensive facilities to our permitted use table in the exact same zoning locations that their comparable medical facilities are located. The definitions for comprehensive facility types are added to the definition section. Medical testing facilities has been revised in our definitions to remove the term medical in order to make it a little bit more generic and more consistent with the way that the amended Article 14 standards are prepared. And then the permitted use table, as I said, will be adding our comprehensive facilities in those same zoning districts where we have medical located. No new zoning districts are being opened to allow comprehensive facilities, as well as I've said previously, no additional licensures are being authorized by the proposed text change. The use specific standards are being amended for language consistency. Generally, those changes remove medical, add marijuana where necessary. We also have made changes in order to address particular provisions that the revisions to Article 14 made as it relates to particular provisions and the operational characteristics of some of the new facilities themselves. Again, no new zoning districts are being added, no increases in the licensure limitations, and there are no revisions relating to distance or spacing standards being proposed at this point that are part of the use-specific standards. So still, we are more restrictive than the state, which is the state is a 1,000-foot separation from protected uses, schools, daycares, and churches. The City of Columbia and the adoption of its use-specific standards reduced that to 500 feet. Those standards will remain. The changes, again, are isolated just to our licensed medical facilities, converting or desiring to convert to comprehensive ones, which would, again, allow those individual operations to both do recreational and medical marijuana. The changes only affect the UDC. So it is important to understand that there are other changes within our city code that will need to be made. For example, business licensure will have to also be amended, and we will potentially, pursuant to council's authorization, be placing onto the April ballot a tax increase as it relates to recreational marijuana sales, and then that would also be captured as a part of amendments to our tax section and business licensing processes as well. Those will be handled separately, potentially some concurrently with this amendment, and they'll be being produced more by our law department as they are in the purview of the general code, not the zoning code, which is what the Planning and Zoning Commission deals with only. So, with that being said, and not going into great depth of everything, but we'll cover all of what we're doing here in the definitions, we are recommending approval of the text changes as they have been presented in the attached ordinance that you have received with your packet and that was published with this agenda for this evening. The definitions that will be added or revised are the laundry list that are here. There are a total of 9 of them. 4 of them deal with comprehensive marijuana and the facilities that are associated with them. We are adding a definition of marijuana facility that does not exist. We are adding a definition of medical marijuana facility. And then we are revising standards and definitions that relate to the medical marijuana cultivation facilities, medical marijuana dispensary facilities, as well as medical marijuana testing facilities by the removal of medical from that existing definition. That is the first of the 3 sections that will be amended with this ordinance. The second section deals with our permitted use table, adding or revising these particular characteristics and placing them in the comparable zoning classification where we have medical currently listed. So they will go accordingly. And then we are, again, modifying in the permitted use table medical marijuana testing facility to just be marijuana testing facility, and it will remain in its same zoning classifications as well. And finally, the use-specific standards. That will be the last section of the code that would be amended with this proposed text change. And the language that is offered within the ordinance that is before the commission this evening basically has been clarified for consistency purposes with the language relative to the addition of comprehensive medical facilities, marijuana facilities, in Article 14 of the state constitution. It is possible as we move to the next phase for microbusiness marijuana facilities, there may be additional changes that may be made to the use-specific standards, or there may be a separate subsection to the use-specific standards directly dealing with microbusiness facilities. That is yet to be seen based upon the guidance that may be received from DHSS as it relates to that licensure process. With that, that is all I have to offer this evening on this text amendment. Again, we recommend approval of all 3 sections as articulated here. Ms. Thompson can answer any specific details as she did the comprehensive research of Article 14. I am here to answer any others if you so desire.
Thank you. Do we need 3 separate votes?
I would advise 3 separate votes.
3 separate votes. Roger that. Before we go to questions for staff, are there any commissioners who've received outside communication? If so, please disclose it so that we can all have the same information. Seeing none, questions for staff. Seeing none, is there anyone here from the public who wishes to speak on this case? Seeing none, is there any commissioner comment on this case? For the benefit of the public and the record, we did spend a work session on this, and this has been thoroughly researched by the legal department. So the lack of discussion is not an indication of lack of work. Seeing no public or no commissioner comment, would anyone like to make a motion?
I will. I need to make three, as you said, three separate, and the first one is the 29-1.11A. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Should the motion be along the lines of move to amend as presented? Would that be sufficient?
That would be sufficient. I would also ask that for the approval of the first recommendation that you subject it to minor technical corrections.
Understood. In the manner of amending city code to better fit the new Article 14 changes to Missouri Constitution, I move to approve Section 29-1.11A definitions with minor technical corrections. Is that sufficient, or do I need to add anything to that? I want to make sure our language is good.
That's sufficient for me.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
I have 8 votes to approve. The motion is carried.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to the next text change, is there any commissioner comment? Commissioner McMahon?
Seeing no further comment. In the matter of amending definitions in 29-3.2, table 29-3.1, I move to amend those as presented with minor technical corrections.
Second.
Stat legal's nodding at me, so.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, roll call when you're ready.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. And moving on to the last change, is there any comment on this change? Commissioner McMahon?
Seeing no further comments in the matter of amending 29-3.1QQ, use-specific standards.
3.3.
Thank you very much. So I was reading it here. 29.3. I'll restart that. In the matter of 29-3.3QQ, use-specific standards, amending the definitions to those presented with minor technical corrections, I move to approve.
Second. Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. With that, that has finished our cases for the night. I will now open the floor to public comment if there is any general public comment that someone would like to make. Seeing no movement, staff comment.
Next meeting will be January 19th. We will have a work session at 5:30 p.m. will discuss with Ms. Thompson some potential training to split that work session with a follow-up from this evening's topic, if needed, after discussing matters with Mr. Smith, so we can do some annual commissioner training, so we start the new year off right. Since we do not have anything particular prepared yet for you, sure, we could probably bring another text change to start discussing maybe cottage standards. Anyone?
Yes. Yes.
So we could possibly bring that forward as well. Mr. Smith probably will lay an egg if I ask him to produce something, but nonetheless, you know, it's my role as his boss. We'll have something for you for the 5:30 meeting. You do have a regular 7 p.m. meeting. We do have some items that will be on that agenda. Just some. So we have the five that you see here before you. It is very possible that 49 and 50 may be delayed, given that they are uniquely tied together. They are the same property, as you can tell from the address. There is a comprehensive rezoning of this land. This is located at the southeast corner of the AC Grindstone exit and US 63 interchange. And this is property that is being affected by the relocation of the off-ramp heading northbound on 63, immediately north of Lenore. We're working through some issues as it relates to the preliminary plat at this point. Those may not be completely resolved by the 19th. So we may be down to three. And the first two were tabled at the December 22nd meeting. The one off of Balboa Lane, that is a rezoning for RMF to PD and a PD plan for multifamily expansion on the subject tract. We have the 2205 East Brown Station Road, that is a rezoning request from PD to MC for a portion of the overall acreage, and then a different parcel, but still part of the same ownership, MC to IG. This was originally a property that we thought we would be doing an MCCUP request on. The applicant informed us that they wanted to continue to move forward with the northern half of the property that is located on Roger Wilson Boulevard going up towards the jail, the county jail, to remain the requested IG. So that will come before you. And then we have a case off of 506 Garth Avenue. That is an ADU for an R1. Or an R1 ADU CUP. So that is one of those that we will have before you as well. To familiarize yourself with the properties, these were our previously tabled cases on Balboa as well as East Brown School Road. The MC larger portion is what is sought to be split zoned in MC and IG, the northern portion of that, roughly 5.5 acres, to go to IG. And then the tail portion of that property is presently zoned PD as part of the Pride Soccer Park PD plan. It is sought to be brought into the remaining MC that would be there at the southeast intersection of Roger Wilson and Brown School Road. And then our properties that are remaining on the agenda, the rezoning and the preliminary plat for 3300 New Haven, which may be tabled. And then we have the location of the R1 ADU CUP request on Garth. Those are the cases that we have coming forward for you for the 19th. We appreciate you coming back from the holidays and look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much. Are there any commissioner comments? Commissioner McMahon.
Before I make that final comment, if it's okay with my fellow commissioners, and we do actually have some time, if we got even 30 minutes, I would love to have something noticed so we can actually have at least begin a useful conversation on infill or something, whatever you want to call it, just so it's noticed so we can have that conversation if there's time. My fellow commissioners, feeling good about that?
So you're suggesting we add an agenda item called discussion on infill development?
Something along those lines, because this is something that we just went over 5 years with the UDC, and we've been waiting for this for a long time. So
would any members of the commission object if we have time at our next work session to a general discussion? Commissioner Lowe?
We've had some more focused discussions on this previously, so I'm wondering.
I'm thinking about kicking the ball off again, that type of thing, because it, but you know what, I'm open. As long as we start the process, I really don't care where we start.
Right, I was just wondering if it would be useful to bring some of that previous discussion back.
If we notice it as a general discussion on infill or something of that nature, anything that's presented that we choose to discuss under those strictures, I think we'd be fine, as long as everyone's okay with that. Staff?
I think that that's appropriate, and I realize what Ms. Lowe is alluding to. We do have a spreadsheet of analysis as it relates to lot areas that has been previously discussed. It's probably been at least 2 years since the topic was brought up, so it would require probably going back quite a length of time in our archives. I think it may be more appropriate to begin the discussion again, utilizing the research that was prepared that Mr. Smith and I have looked at, but we haven't looked at in a long time. I think the bigger issue that we have to deal with is there's two processes that are most likely going to need to be addressed. One deals with the more simplistic revision of, and I maybe should be careful about saying simplistic,
narrow.
The more direct and the more straightforward revision of the code to deal with cottage standards and how that process can be streamlined. The second aspect of the discussion needs to deal with the creation potentially of different zoning definition or different zoning classifications that accommodate a different lot area minimum, as well as other dimensional changes that may need to be made to the code to accommodate what we've previously discussed in community forums as missing middle housing and some of the other topics that are critical, I think, in order to address some of the affordability issues that we as a community are currently experiencing. So what I would probably want to do, as Mr. McMahon has suggested, is put this on the agenda as a much more general topic to which we then can refine moving forward in the research that was previously done and the ideas offered several years ago about lot area minimums and dealing with how that works, and then also being able to have as a spinoff of that the cottage style standard discussion as well, and take two paths going from a more general topic. So we will accommodate that. It must be on an agenda in order to have it discussed. So Mr. McMahon's point is very well taken. I believe we will probably have time. If I recall correctly, our last training session really only took maybe 30 or so minutes to go through. And out of an hour and 15-minute work session, we are not going to spend a lot of time as it relates on the drive-through topic per se. So we will probably have an adequate amount of time to speak on this additional topic. And this is the type of discussion I like at the end of the meeting. You all can feed us some of the things that you would like to talk about, and we can figure out, do we have time? Can we get it in? What research do we have to prepare in order to make it a meaningful discussion?
Commissioner Lowe, sorry.
Thank you.
I think I just mentioned that because I wanted newer commissioners to know this isn't a new topic for us. And I think perhaps not, I agree, it's been a while since we've looked at some of those files, but perhaps just listing some of the efforts or endeavors that we had started to look into to help start to generate a list of options could be a good starting place just for this group to look at and consider and also add to.
Thank you. Commissioner Placer?
Just as a matter of curiosity, will the Board of Adjustment be involved in this change at all, or can we just ourselves change that aspect of the code?
My understanding is they are in more of an enforcement side. So we change the code and they deal with exceptions and waivers?
In this particular instance, if what I'm understanding is Placer asking, so the optional development standards as written in the current UDC are directly assigned to the Board of Adjustment. So I think to Ms. Galway Jones's point, making amendments to the structure of the zoning code is really the purview of the commission and then council. So the board, it's shedding a responsibility of theirs, so they probably wouldn't mind.
Yes, it's seizing some of their power.
I don't know necessarily if they see it that way. they wield enough of it as it relates to granting relief. Again, this comes to a practical matter of allowing truth in advertising when somebody comes before this body and then ultimately council and assurances to the public. So I would think making the change is not going to be seen as something negative to the board.
Any further public comment? Commissioner McMahon.
Seeing nothing, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Hearing no objections, we are adjourned.